So you don't need me to tell you that the markets finished terribly in 2008, but perhaps the story is not the numbers going up, the numbers going down. It's the volumes. The trading volumes are low on Wall Street and markets around the world, either because people lost tons of money and have nothing to invest, or they are scared off by the Madoff scandal, or they're just sitting on the sidelines because they've lost confidence for whatever reason in traditional precepts of investing and trading. And that's something that is very, very worrisome to the broader financial economy. And joining us now to discuss that is Roger Lowenstein, who's an author and New York Times Magazine contributor. He's in Boston. Roger, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
I'm going to mention your book, I promise, but
It's a short segment, but no, go ahead.
That's right. But seriously, how important is confidence here, and how much are the volumes on trading floors all over the world affected by this crisis of confidence?
Well, you know, in the short term, confidence is everything. And in the long term, stocks will go where they ought to go. But as Keynes said, in the long term, we're dead, so it doesn't matter. Right now, as you said, top of the segment, people are thinking about the money they lost. And I think the Madoff caper just put an exclamation point to it, even if it had nothing to do with why most of us have lost money. It just seems to reflect the feeling that we all have that something could just poof, turn into nothing. People just don't want to go back in.
And exactly what you've said there, something can poof, just turn into nothing, is a sort of a toxic argument against the traditional philosophy of investors, and that is put a little away here and there. It's always going to rise over the long haul. If you start saving now, in the future, things are going to be brighter. Is that still possible, an argument to make?
In the 1930s, which was not only the precedent for this episode, but even worse, there was a guy named Ben Graham who is today regarded as the father of value investing, and he told everybody that they should just go back to their knitting and buy stocks for the long term. And the market was down then 89%. That was on average. If you'd done worse than the average, you were down 97 or something. And yes, it is possible, but You can't put yourself in the position of the people who were investing with Bernie Madoff and just invest for the short term or just hope that the crowd's going to follow you in tomorrow.
So does that argue for finding traditional stocks and going back to basics, or is it looking for hedge funds in China?
Well, I wouldn't look for hedge funds in China. It argues for buying stuff that is worth more than you're paying so that you can sit tight with it and not worry about what the market's going to do, today, tomorrow, the next day. If you think about the people who invested with Madoff, there was nothing there, right? There was a big pyramid, and the only way you got your money out if somebody else came in and gave Madoff more money that he could pay out. Hmm. If you're buying stocks on that kind of a basis, if you're saying, hey, I think this is going to go up tomorrow, I'll buy it today, you're desperately betting that some other bigger fool is going to come in the next day and bail you out. And that's not investing. It's what they do in Atlantic City.
But there were enough of those people around to make Madoff very rich before the fiasco ended. I've been asking a lot of people talking about the Madoff scandal this, when did he know the jig was up? When did he look at the math and say, this is not sustainable? When do you think it was?
My guess is a few months after it began.
Really?
Think about it. He's obviously a bright guy, would seem to have been a bright guy. This is a Ponzi scheme. People put money in, and from that money, he pays the money out to other people. And there's no possible way of making it up. So what he didn't know is when. The old Herb Stein line, if something can't go on forever, it'll stop. That's true. What Stein couldn't tell us, and no one ever can, is when does the music stop? When do overpriced mortgage securities collapse, and we have this major meltdown? Nobody knew when. When did the dot-com stocks fall back to earth? Nobody knows that. But Madoff had to know that he was holding promissory notes that were backed by air.
And that perhaps explains why one analyst told us this week that, unlike many other Ponzi schemes, this went from 60 to zero in like a single instant.
Because it was always worth zero. Yeah. There was a number on it that said 60, right? But this wasn't even a case of mortgage securities where there were homes behind them. And, what's a home worth? Is it worth $200,000? Is it worth $300,000? to some extent, it's in the eye of the beholder, whatever
right.
rents are worth or whatever. But this is there's nothing there. So the 60 was a mirage.
Right.
It was always zero. So I think, to answer your question, he
knew it. He knew it early on.
He had to know it would end like this. I like to think somehow that the first month or two, maybe he operated legitimately for some time, had a bad month or two, maybe covered up, figuring he would pay it back real quickly. But once that didn't happen, the bank teller who borrows and then thinks he'll pay it back next week, and then, 1 week's okay, 3 weeks, and suddenly he owes the bank for more than he's worth.
Right. Well, it's a long road back for Bernard Madoff, and perhaps an even longer road back for traditional investors thinking about what they're going to do over the next 25 years. Roger Lowenstein, author, New York Times Magazine contributor, thanks so much for joining us.
Good talking to you.